As you would be aware if you've been hanging around for the last couple of weeks, we've been working through a series on In Spite Of, and we've been looking at various characters in the Old Testament so far. New Testament comes later. But we've been looking at various characters in the Bible and how, in spite of their fatal flaws, in spite of the issues and the problems and the mistakes and just the, to be blunt, the screw-ups that they were, God's used them, and God has done some amazing things through them. Today we're taking a slight little detour and talking less about a particular character, but talking more about some things in general. We've been certainly challenged and moved over the last week or so particularly, but beyond, more than that, with regard to where we are as a community with drought, with the struggle, with just the difficulty that's being experienced across our community and across our state and our nation at the moment. And we wanted to take some time this morning to respond to that. So there's a couple of things we're going to do today. We've got some special guests. They're family, but they're special. They're going to come and share with us in a minute. But couple of things that we wanted to highlight and to raise and to begin the process of this morning and moving forward from here as we engage with where our community is at. So you would have received an email during the course of this last week out of the church office that outlined some responses that we as an eldership have come up with and have felt and sensed as a result of last weekend particularly. We met as an eldership last weekend, and in that time beginning to process and ask God, well, how do we respond as a church to the growing need that is before us with the drought? So there's two things that we've determined and committed ourselves to in order to address and respond. First is to be called the church to prayer. We're asking you as God's people that we would be prepared to humble ourselves and seek God's face and to pray for our community, for our nation. That God would bring rain, that he would bring, in his mercy and his grace, he would bring rain to our region, that he would refresh the land. With that comes a call to fast. Now, I don't know whether that's something that you've done much of, so let me just outline a little bit of what we mean by that. Fasting is simply the process by where you willingly go without something that is of significance to you for the purpose of, in that foregoing, prompts you to remember that which you're seeking God for. Now, the most common means of fasting is to not eat. So to take a day or a weekend. Jesus fasted for 40 days. I'm not necessarily suggesting that you do that, but as God leads you, for the period of time that God leads you, that you would go without. Now, that may be going without food. So to pick a day and say, look, I'm not eating today. And every time your stomach rumbles and every time you feel that pang of hunger and every time you would normally take, the time you would normally take to prepare and to eat meals, you spend that time in prayer. You are reminded of the need to be coming before the Lord and to be seeking his face over this aspect of prayer for rain particularly. It doesn't need to be food. For some, going without food for a day is not a healthy thing to do. But it may be something else. It may be that you forego coffee. For some of us, that might not be a healthy thing either, with the headaches and the shakes and everything else that goes with it as we go through that withdrawal process. But maybe that's a good thing anyway. Maybe it's chocolate. Maybe you decide that you're going to leave the car at home today and you're going to walk to the places you need to go to, and while you're walking, you're praying. Leave that up to you and the Lord. But as an eldership, we have chosen that there are five of us currently sitting around the eldership table with Eric out at Yawa. So we've each taken one day, one weekday, and committed ourselves to fast on that day so that across the eldership we have covered every day of the week during for the weekdays, that we would fast as God leads us to in order that we might focus on this aspect of prayer. I want to encourage you to consider doing the same. That you might choose a day, you might choose a period of time, that you might choose something that you would forego in order that you might fast, to wait upon the Lord and to seek Him and to pray earnestly for the drought that is affecting our state, our nation. So that's the first thing we've done. We're calling you to prayer. Now, that is an ongoing thing. Okay? We're going to keep doing that until God brings relief, until God breaks the drought, until God blesses. And then we'll probably keep going because then we need to thank Him for it. Right? So I think this is something we need to be developing as a part of our church life, this idea of prayer and fasting, and to be making that more significant in our church life. So we're going to just keep, that's until further notice. We're just going to keep doing that. The second thing we wanted to do was to do something in practical sense, in tangible sense, to help those around us. And so we've established a love offering that we might raise finances to support those in need. PNF on Tuesday night began that process and has started that fund with $1,000 out of our missions response fund. But we're calling on us as a church that as God leads us, again, as God leads, that we might sacrificially give. Over and above our normal tithes, over and above our normal offerings, over and above all of our other commitments and the things that we've committed to the Lord, that we would seek to present a love offering that would go towards helping those in our community who are struggling. We're still working out some of the details as to how that gets administered and what that looks like and how we address that and identifying those needs. But be aware that we'll be open and transparent about that. That's important. But that we seek to help those around us in some really practical, tangible ways. That might be buying feed. That might be paying for a load of water. That might be just giving them some cash to get them to allow them to buy some groceries or to pay a bill or whatever. Whatever that looks like. We don't want any strings attached to that, but that we might give. And so again, that will be an ongoing thing. That we might just continue, that fund will just continue to bubble away and be administered as we have the funds available to do that. But I want to call you to respond to that. In the email, I had a couple of other links to various other places like Buy a Bail and things like that. If you're needing a tax deductible status on your gift, then there are some other options there. But those two things particularly, we're calling the church to respond. Can I suggest a third thing? And that is just as you are out and about and doing involved in your daily life. Remember, we talk about being on front lines and we talk about going where we go and do what we do and take Jesus with us. That in your process of going and you're taking Jesus with you, that you become observant to the needs that are around you, particularly as they relate to those who are on the land, those who are affected by this drought, and just see what you can do in that moment, at that time, in that situation, to be attentive to what God might lay on your heart at that point to respond to Him. So, if you want to know more about any of that, if that's raised some questions for you, or I just didn't explain it well, come and see me afterwards and we'll talk more about it. But we're going to take a moment to pray and just to commit to the Lord this need as we engage with this topic this morning. Father, we stop and we quieten ourselves before You as Almighty God, the God of the universe, the One who speaks stars into existence, the One who merely speaks a word and it happens. The God who created this entire universe and everything that's in it, including us. Lord, You've created this planet. You've created this world for us to inhabit, to care for, to nurture, to look after, to benefit from, to make a living from. And Father, we recognize right now that our world is struggling. Yes, Lord, there is a part of that because we have done things that we shouldn't have done, both in terms of our own lives, but Lord, we've not looked after this place the way You wanted us to. We've not been good stewards of the earth and all that You've given us. And so, Father, for that, we need to come and repent and ask for your forgiveness. But, Lord, we also recognize that as a nation, we've turned our backs on you. For years now, we've been telling you to leave our schools and to leave our governments and to leave our homes and to leave our marriages and our families and to leave our relationships and to leave us alone. And yet we're surprised that you have. But you're a God of your word. You're a God who doesn't force yourself on us. And so you've honored the requests of our people that you leave us alone. But Father, we're sorry for that. Lord, that is not what we need. That is not what we want. Father, we need you. We need you in our homes. We need you in our marriages. We need you in our relationships. We need you in our schools and in our government. As a nation, Lord, we need you. And so, Father, today is your people who are gathered here in this place, who are called by your name. Father, we seek to humble ourselves before you and recognize that there is nothing in us that is inherently good other than what you have given us in Christ. And we come before you in boldness in his name and ask, Father, that you might have mercy on us as a nation, that you might bring forgiveness to us as a people. Father, that as a church, you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Father, we would ask for rain to refresh our land. Father, rain to bring hope for those who are doing it so tough. Father, we would pray not just for physical rain, but for spiritual rain of your blessing to pour out on your people here. That you would reveal your glory to us through the way you do this. Father, we pray that you'd give us open and attentive hearts to your Spirit, that would help us to respond to the needs that we see around us in ways that are appropriate and right and helpful. Father, in ways that represent you accurately and well. Father, ways that demonstrate your love and your mercy, your forgiveness and your grace. Father, we pray that through our engagement with our community, Father, people would find hope in you. Father, we pray. We seek you. And we ask that as your word promises, you would hear our prayers and heal our land. Father, we ask it not for our own sake, but that your name would be glorified and honored here and throughout this community and this nation. For your word, for your glory, for your honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got some special guests, some special people with us this morning who are going to share with us. I'm going to ask Melanie to come forward first. In your bulletin this morning, you got a piece of paper that has a poem on it that Melanie wrote. Now, if you read the Daily News, then you would have seen Mel's face in the paper. You will have possibly read her poem. It's a poem that she wrote that comes out of some personal experience. But you need that. So, Mel, tell us a little bit, what's prompted this poem?
Well, I guess just seeing what's happening around about the drought and hearing stories of farmers who are struggling with the drought that don't have anything to hope for and who a lot of them turn to suicide and stuff like that because they have nothing to hope for because it's not raining and they have nothing left. So it's just come from that.
Okay, cool. Would you read us your poem, please? Share that with us so that we can appreciate it.
Yes. And it's called When All That Is Left Is the Dust. Dusty showers of cloudy dirt scatter the thin parched sky as 100 silent ghostly hooves disturb an earth again bled dry. Slowly and solemnly walking behind, the farmer gravely takes the rear of life and of his herd of bony cows on his skeleton farm and his conscience of fear. The thin dusty air is craving and wanting for a breath of fresh rain to fall. The but anxious clouds of worry and stress have been the only clouds to recall. The dry soil is parched, split and thirsty for a glimpse of green hope to show. But with soaked regrets, the sprouting uncertainty is all the ground can grow. Hope is the only thing that can help us survive. Hope is our only gain. When all you have worked for and proudly built up becomes your reason for pain. But where can we find it? A solid foundation, a place to put our faith without doubt. When all you have known and firmly established is taken in the midst of a drought. Older generations who have been where we are tell us the rain will come in all. They say, like 1965, you've just got to still be there when it falls. But it's so hard to hope for what you have not seen, to believe in mere words alone, when the wait for the rain stretches on while your land that's your life turns to bone. The sun's dry heat in the middle of winter, ironically, is the only warmth you'll find from any controlling higher world power that will even bother to pay you some mind. The struggle is real. The farmers must fight alone. They must either fight or give in, for nobody else wants to take on a place where money and prospects are grim. So where shall we place all our hope for the future? What can we honestly trust? We find whole communities only gather to pray when all they have left is the dust. We know in our hearts what we try to deny, that inner conscience that tells us it's so, that the dust, earth's inheritance, is where we came from and back to we must go. So what is this hope that we try to deny simply because of humanity's pride? The only true hope that will get us through, we push as long as we can to the side. We wait till we're broken, we wait till we lose, we wait until nothing remains. And then, only then, in our hopeless estate, we resolve to the praying hands. So what if we started while rain was still there to hope in a heavenly hope? What if we had already built up a faith which already instituted a way to cope? Then in the dry seasons, when our earthly inheritance is taken out of our hands, we will have the hope of a heavenly inheritance that trusts not in rain nor in man. So even if we have to fight till the end with nothing but our hope to show, we would rest in the peace that we gave all we had to allow our faith to grow. We would not need to fight the pride of man. We could simply rest and trust, for we'd already be in God's gracious hands, even when all that is left is the dust.
Thanks, Mel. That poem has really touched a chord not only among us, but amongst our community. We got talking this week. We've sent it to Queensland Baptist. It's going to go in they're going to do a full feature article on that in the next QB magazine. It's going to go further afield, but it's a poem that talks so much of the hope we have, not in the tangible stuff, but our hope in God. Now, you've brought some other people with you this morning, which is really cool. You brought your mum and dad, because tell us, where do you live? Tell us your home situation.
I live at Spring Creek.
Okay.
On a dairy farm.
On a dairy farm. Okay, so a lot of this comes out of that real personal experience,
because yeah.
That's where you guys are at right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So will you introduce your mum and dad to us?
Yeah.
And we're going to ask them to come up.
Yeah.
Introduce mum and dad.
This is mum and dad.
It's Roger and Andrea. Come on up. Yep. Part of this morning is simply about saying, I can stand here and tell you what it's like, but it takes on such a different meaning and significance when it comes from those who are actually experiencing it. So we haven't planned anything specifically other than I'm just going to ask you some questions. I'd love you guys just to share your heart. We spent a couple of hours on Wednesday sitting around the kitchen table talking about stuff, and I've got to say, I came away from that just tremendously encouraged, a little overwhelmed, but tremendously encouraged by the outlook you guys have. So start by telling us a little bit about, give us your background, how did you end up at Spring Creek? What does that look like? What's home like? You're on a dairy farm. Tell us about all of that and give us a bit of that background.
Yeah, rightio. We bought the farm 13 years ago, didn't know anything about dairying. So we thought we'd give it a go and struggled through a couple of droughts there. A couple of times we nearly bailed out, but we hung in there and we're still there. We're hanging in there now by the skin of our teeth. But yeah, we've got plan B in place because I think every farmer's just about going to have plan B in place in the next few months. And we're ready to bail out again, but we hope we don't have to. We're hoping we can stick with plan A. So yeah, that's just how it is with every farmer now, I think. They're all in that boat. And some of them a lot longer than you realise. Like out Winton, Longreach area, they've been in drought for 6 years out there. They've destocked. They're just sitting in a dust bowl waiting for it to rain, and everyone's forgotten about them. But you know, it's pretty huge, this drought. It covers a huge amount of the country, and there's thousands of farmers out there that are very likely going to have to walk off their land. Excuse me. Some of them have got a huge amount of debt, and the bank will take their farm. It's a fact. It's something that all the donations on the coast and anything else isn't going to save. You know, only rain can save it. There's no way they're going to survive unless it rains. It's just, you know, all the money you can give won't bail them out, basically. It's how it is. It's just they're going to have to go to plan B, and for plan B for them, it's going to be walking off the land and giving it to the bank, and they'll have nothing. So if you know anyone in that situation, be prepared to help them in any way you can, whether it's giving them a job would really, really help if you're in a position to do that, or giving them accommodation, or just giving them support, you know, morally, psychologically. It's a battle in every way. Like, I think when David had to fight Goliath, he had an easy target. You know, he could see how big it was, he could see what he had to aim for. But when you're a farmer fighting a battle of a drought in Australia, you have no idea what you're fighting. You don't know how long it's going to go for. You don't know when the rain's going to come. So yeah, it's not easy psychologically. You've got to make calls that can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you have no idea whether it's the right one or not because you don't know when the rain's coming. So that's just how it is. Mm.
As we talked on Wednesday, as I said, I was really encouraged by just the outlook you have. Tell us a little bit about, you said you got plan B. You don't necessarily need to go into the details, but there's more to you. For you guys, it's more than just where you sit right now. You see there's more to it. We talked about the fact that, you know, yeah, it's tough, but there's a hope in that. You want to explain that a bit more, share that a bit more?
It is, you know, that's what Melanie's poem was about, obviously, was that there is a hope that we have that a lot of farmers out there don't have, that we, you know, our hope and our faith is in God. And we, you know, we know that he may not send rain, but we know that he has a plan for us beyond farming. You know, he loves us and he cares for us and he has a plan for the whole country. You know, it's hard if you pray for rain, someone else might be praying for no rain. You know, like, it's not just us. It's the whole of Australia is affected by this. There's so many people. And God has a plan for it. We can't see it. We don't know what it is. But yeah, we've got to trust him. We've got to put our faith and our trust and our hope in God, not in farming or in rain or in, how does the poem go?
Rain or man.
Yeah, rain or man, because, yeah. Yeah, like, the hay's running out. We can't buy any more hay. Our cows are probably worth nothing, and that's just how it is for all the farms out there. So basically all those sort of hopes have run out, so our hope is in God.
Excellent. Well, we're going to pray for you guys specifically, and because I know that part of what you shared was just how grim it is. You know, there's a ticking clock in some ways on how long you can hold out before the season breaks or whatever, but and we understand that. So we're going to pray for you guys, and just that God would continue to sustain you in the midst of that. And more than anything else, we pray for rain. We're going to keep doing that. But that God would just bless you guys and just strengthen you in that. And through you, give hope to those that are around you. Because I know, you know, as you talk with your neighbours and your community in Spring Creek and through Allora and Clifton and those sort of places that you congregate around, as you're talking to the others that are in similar situations, that that hope that you have shines through to them. So we're going to do that. Can I ask you guys to stand with us as we pray, just as a sign of our togetherness and our unity in Christ, as we pray for you guys. Father, we just want to say thank you for the O'Day family. Father, thank you for the way that you have used them in this last week or so, just to speak into our lives specifically, but broader than that, into our community and into our state, and it's going viral beyond that, Lord. Thank you that you have used them. Lord, we want to just pray for them right now. Father, we understand something of the struggle and the difficulty of where they are at right now with this drought. Father, we want to pray that you would sustain them and uphold them. Father, would you just continue to bless them? Whether that, Lord, ultimately we pray for the blessing of rain. Lord, even if that's just over their place, that's greedy, but Lord, that blesses them. Father, we pray for rain over our whole community. Father, we pray that you would provide for them. We pray that you would give them what they need as they need it. Father, we pray that you would give them an assurance of that hope they have in you. Father, thank you that in you there is hope beyond our circumstances. There is a purpose and a plan for our lives that you have preordained for us and you have set in place. And Father, your purpose is to bless us and to help us, not to hurt and to hinder us. So, Father, we would pray that blessing over the O'Day family, over their farm, over their livestock. Father, we pray that their cows would be far more productive than what they ought to be at this point in time. That, Father, you would multiply their output to provide further income, to provide that blessing in this time, to give them what they need. Father, would you protect their farm? Would you watch over them? Would you just bless them, Father, for your glory? And Father, as they engage with their friends, their neighbours, their community in Allera and Spring Creek and Clifton and throughout Warwick and the area, Father, would people see in them the hope they have in you? Father, would you use them to speak that hope into those people's lives, to give them a hope for the future as well? But Father, we just want to thank you for their sharing with us today. Thank you for the gift of poetry that you've given Mel and the way her words have been able to encourage us. And Father, we ask that you would continue to pour your blessings into their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Chronicles 7:13-16 says, "When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." God promises that as we come to him and we seek him and we pray, that he hears us. Throughout Scripture, I'm only going to take a couple of minutes just to tie all of this together. Throughout Scripture, we see stories of where God's people are in need, whether it be through Moses and they're in the desert and they're needing food and water, and God provides manna and quail and water out of rocks and all that kind of stuff. Whether it be in 1 Kings, in chapter 17, when we have the story of Elijah, and there's that period of drought, and God takes Elijah and sits him down by the brook and feeds him with the ravens, but eventually that dries up and that changes, and he sends Elijah into the town, and he goes to Zarephath and finds the widow who's gathering sticks in order that she might use the last of her flour, the last of her oil, to cook a meal for her and her son so that they can then go and die, because they've got nothing left. And the Lord says to Elijah to go and speak to her and ask her to make him a meal, with the promise that if she is obedient, she does that, then God will bless her and the flour and the oil will not run out until such times as the drought is broken. She did that. She was obedient to that. And God blessed her. And we see in 1 Kings 17 that story of how God uses Elijah. The story's up there on the screen. We're not going to read it through. But just the realization that as she went away and did as Elijah told her, there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. The jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken to Elijah. There's the promise that God will provide. There is the promise that God will give that which we need. You might remember this was a passage that we were given last year as we struggled through as a church some financial difficulties, that God would give us what we needed. There'd be no extra, there'd be no leftovers, just what we needed, when we needed it, as we needed it, enough. And the sense that I had this morning as I was preparing and praying through this morning's message, that this applies to us still. But not just for us as a church, God's expanded it. That as a community, that God will give us what we need, just as we need it, enough. That he will get us through, that he will provide for us. Chris shared this passage out of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. That kind of sounds pretty much like a description of Queensland and New South Wales right about now. But Habakkuk says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Even in the midst of the circumstances when things seem dire and desperate, Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will be joyful in God my Saviour. He is my strength. He is the one that upholds me. He is the one that supports me. Job is the go-to guy for the difficulty of circumstances in life, isn't he? Here's this guy that's incredibly wealthy, incredibly prominent in his community, and yet because of a conversation that Satan has with God, and we're privy to some of the back room, throne room conversations of God, everything's taken away. All of his livestock, all of his cattle, all of his sheep, all of his goats, his camels, everything. There's one servant who's left to run in to tell him the bad news. And just as he finishes speaking, the next servant runs in and says, but it gets worse, but wait, there's more. And all of his wealth is gone. And all of his family are gathered celebrating at one of his children's homes, and a tornado comes and flattens the house and kills them all. Job is left with nothing but his wife. And he says these words, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In the midst of the difficulties of life, is that where you get to? Is that what you can honestly say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise the name of the Lord. Job did. Interestingly, though, his wife didn't. His wife said to him, this is in chapter 2, this is after not only has he lost all of his wealth and all of his family, he's now lost his health and he's actually sitting in a dung heap scraping pus out of his sores with broken pottery. There's a picture for you. His wife says to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Feeling the love. I think at this point, Job is probably wishing his wife was in the house with his kids. Let's not go there. But what's Job's reply? So his wife's saying, curse God and die. Like, just give up. And he says, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Isn't that true? How wise is that? Are we only going to praise God when it's good? Are we only going to rejoice when things are going well? As that song we sang immediately before this message time says, you know, blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Is that the extent of our relationship with God? Is that the extent of our praise and our worship? Or can we honestly say like Job, that even in the times where things are not going well, when I'm in the desert place, when there's pain in the suffering and in the sacrifice, that we still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. One of my favourite passages of Scripture is Isaiah 40. Interestingly, Isaiah 40 and Job 40 actually are very similar in what they say. Let me read through Isaiah 40 for you. The word of the Lord comes to Isaiah and says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." God says all that difficulty, all that trouble will ultimately be done away with. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Who will bring good tidings to Zion? Go up on a high mountain. Who will bring good tidings to Jerusalem? Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on a scale and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as a counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then shall you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that won't rot, and he looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that won't topple. But do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? He who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, look from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I will call you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and you have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord says, do you not know? Have you not heard? God is the everlasting God. He gives strength to those who call on him. You see, God gives us hope in him because he is God. He is in charge. No matter what happens, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how bad it gets, God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. God is still God. Chris read to us from Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. The whole of creation is struggling. The whole of the creation is groaning under the weight of sin. You see, the purpose of the cross in which we have our hope is not just about our salvation. Yes, it's about our salvation. Yes, it's about you and me being made right with God. It says Jesus stands in our place and takes our punishment on the cross to pay for our sin, to deal with our independence, to deal with our arrogance, to deal with our desire to do things without God. As he deals with that, he saves us. He brings us into relationship with him. But it's more than that. You see, salvation, the gospel story, all that God has done is about shalom, about bringing peace. Shalom is the Hebrew word that we translate simply as peace, but it's so much more than that. It's the restoration of peace. It's the end of conflict. It's the doing away with strife. But it also has to do with the redemption of creation. Shalom is about putting things right. It's about making things the way they ought to be. It's about reinstating the very good that God declares in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. At the end of creation, when God surveys all that he's made, he says it is very good. That's marred by sin. It's marred by man's independence. It's marred by our selfishness. And is no longer good. But through what Jesus did on the cross, God not only redeems us as people and brings us back into relationship, but he seeks to bring the whole of creation back into that state of being very good. And in fact, as you read to the end of the book, Revelation 21, God declares he is creating a new heaven and a new earth, for the old earth has passed away. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth, that's this one, had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. That's ultimately the hope we have in Christ. That our salvation, Christ's death on the cross, is not just about saving us from an eternity without God, an eternity in hell. It's not just about us forgiving, having our sins forgiven. Yes, as the crowning part of creation, that's what God has achieved for us in Christ. But it goes beyond that. God is redeeming all of creation. There will come a time there will be no more droughts. There will be no more floods. There will be no more bushfires, and there will be no more tornadoes and cyclones and all those other earthquakes and all those other things that we call acts of God. Because God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. He's restoring all that he had purposed and planned at the beginning. And he's done it through Christ. So in spite of our circumstances, in spite of how bad it might be, in spite of how difficult it is, there is still a hope in Christ. That even when the fig tree fails and the olives don't shoot and there's no cattle in the stalls and the sheep have gone missing and all that sort of stuff, yet we can rejoice in the Lord because our hope is in God our Saviour. Isaiah 40, 31, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. He renews our strength as we wait on him. As we stand in the victory that God has given us in Christ. As we close this morning, first I'm going to pray. But there's a new song that our kids have brought home from Teen Street, which has really been speaking to me this morning. We had planned to finish with the Blessed Be Your Name. But as I was preparing this morning, I had the Teen Street playlist on rotation in the headphones this morning. And this song, I rigged it. This song came up plenty of times. But this song grabbed me the first time I heard it this morning. And just a real sense that God was speaking to us in this. That as we talk about the hope we have in Christ, the reality is we stand in the victory of the cross, resting in the shadow of his redeeming love, standing on the promise of new life, because I am his forever and he, Jesus, you are mine. This song is simply called Singing in the Victory. We've got the audio, we've got to have the words go up. We're going to play that. If you know it, sing along. If you don't, just let the words wash over you and just embrace all that it says, because there is no one like God. His love immeasurable and strong. There is no one like you, God. Lead us in our hearts to sing in awe. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. Father, we thank you that despite the circumstances of life and no matter how tough it is, and Lord, we don't want to belittle that. We don't want to downplay the significance of what's happening. We don't want to wash over that and brush it aside and say it doesn't matter. Lord, it's tough. It's hard. And Lord, you call us to respond to that. But Father, thank you that even in the midst of that, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope of a new life. There is hope of a renewed creation, of a new heaven and a new earth. And Lord, there is hope in the here and now as well, to stand in the promises of God, that you will uphold us with your righteous right hand, that you will renew our strength and we'll rise up on wings like eagles, that, Father, we can still rejoice in you, that no matter what happens, naked we came into this world, naked we leave, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That, Lord, we can rejoice and we can praise you and we can honor you in the good times and in the bad, because you are our God, because you love us, because you have called us and you've redeemed us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that he has achieved for us on the cross. Thank you for the new life we have. Thank you for the peace and the hope we have. Thank you that you are making all things new. Father, we simply ask today that you would cause us to sing in awe and wonder of you as we stand in the promise and in the victory that comes in Jesus. We praise you and we thank you in his name. Amen. See how we go.
of your grace.
Singing in the victory of the cross, resting in the shadow of his redeeming love, standing on the promise of new life that Jesus offers through his death and resurrection. I trust this morning that you can sing that and you can say that and you can hold on to that, and that is your prayer this morning. If you've never taken that step of accepting the new life that God offers through Jesus, then today is the day. To have the hope, to have the peace, to have the forgiveness, to experience the grace and the love and the mercy of God that he pours out and lavishes on us through the cross. To be able to rest in the shadow of his redeeming love. If you've never taken that step, then please come and see us after the service. Come and talk. We'd love to be able to share with you more how you can know the hope that we have in Jesus. You can experience that new life, the forgiveness of sin, the peace of God, despite your circumstances, despite what's going on around you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus and the new life that is offered through his death and his resurrection. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you paid to give us that life. Thank you that you are the one whose love is so immeasurable and strong that it calls us out of our circumstances and leads us into new life and hope in you. Father, may each of us today understand that a little bit more as we grow in our relationship with you. Father, for those that don't know you, who have never experienced that, Father, would you continue to speak into their hearts through your Holy Spirit this morning? Challenge them that they might respond to you. Give them the courage to step out in faith and to trust you despite the circumstances. We ask this in Jesus' name for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Morning tea is on in the hall. Stay and fellowship together, share together as we celebrate all that God has done for us.